Well, good morning, everybody. It's really great to be back here in Cottenham. I wish I could have brought some better weather, but I can assure you it's just as wet in London as it is here. And I do bring greetings from Herne Hill Baptist Church back in London. Now, the reading is the easiest one to find in the Bible because it's the first four verses of the Bible, Genesis 1, the first four verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. Before time, before space, before light, before anything, God was and he lived. He decided in his sovereignty and wisdom to intervene, though he didn't need to do so. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth, but did not leave it, did not leave it there. He didn't stop there. He intervened when he created Adam and then created Eve. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So you and I have something of the image of God in us because he intervened at the beginning of creation and created male and female. And God saw all that he created, and it was very good, including the rain. I was walking to get the paper where I live yesterday. Yes, yesterday. It was raining yesterday, so it must have been yesterday. And I heard this beautiful song of a bird. I didn't quite recognise it. It was quite a bit like a robin, but wasn't quite, because robins... beautiful song. So I looked around, can't always see birds when they're singing, but I saw this one in the end. It was a little one, it was a wren. And the noise that, you know, only as big as about that, the noise that was making, such a beautiful noise. And God saw what he created, and it was very good. And it was very good yesterday, listening to that wren. But God didn't stop there. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God intervened to choose a person who would be a father of a nation, who would be God's people, a father of a nation through whom all nations would be blessed, including our nation. And we see in the history of Israel, the people of God, how God continually intervenes. He is not a God who left his creation or those he created to get on with it and says, "I'm leaving you to it." And he said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to continue to intervene in this world which I created." So God intervened with Jacob and he showed him a stairway to heaven and wrestled with him and gave him the name Israel. God intervened time and time again with his people Israel, although so many times they turned away from him. Just what a compassionate God we've got. You read the Old Testament and all you find is that Israel followed God, turned away from God, followed God, turned away from God. God sent prophets, Elijah, Elisha, and he even allowed them to have kings, though he didn't want them to have a king, like David and Solomon. And then sent more prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and many, many other prophets. And it was one of these so-called minor prophets, minor only so far as their books were not large, only small, but not minor in the message they brought. It was one of these prophets, Malachi, who said, "I, the Lord, do not change. God does not change. He remains a God who intervenes. Now, this doesn't seem to have been the case between Malachi, the last book of the Bible, and the New Testament. There appears to be no intervention from God in that 400-year period. But God was preparing for the greatest and most important of his interventions in the life of his people, in making himself known in Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this is a passage you quite often read at Christmas, but it's not just a word for Christmas, because God dwells with us now in Jesus Christ, not only 2,000 years ago. At that time, when Jesus was born, only a few people recognized that God was again intervening in his creation, intervening with his people. Joseph knew, because the angel told him to call Mary's son Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Mary knew, because she was told also that her baby would be called Jesus, but he would be great and called the Son of the Most High. The shepherds knew, because the angel told them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy," in brackets, God is intervening in his world again, "that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The wise men, the Magi, knew, because they asked Herod, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Simeon knew, because when Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So right from Abraham down to this Jesus, there's going to be someone who's going to be a revelation to everybody, not only Israel, but also to the Gentiles. As God had promised Abraham, he made himself known to the world. Jesus, the Word, who was in eternity before time, came into time so that we who are in time may enter eternity. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. That was John talking in his first epistle. God made himself known in a really personal way in the man we call Jesus Christ, because it is in Jesus that we see the full humanity of God. The full glory of God's revelation came at the incarnation, when the eternal Word became flesh and lived among us. When I was brought up as a Catholic, and I used to go to catechism classes every Sunday afternoon. Bad enough going to church in the morning, we had to go in the afternoon. And they sort of ask you various things. And one of them, one day the priest asked me, "What's the most important event in the life of Jesus?" And I said, "It was Christmas." Possibly because I thought that's when presents came, because I was only young at the time. And I think I nearly got a clip round the ear for that, because the answer for him was Easter. Now, clearly Easter is very important, but it seems to me without Christmas, without Jesus Christ becoming man, without Jesus Christ becoming flesh, becoming like us, there wouldn't have been an Easter. And it is this Jesus who became flesh and lived amongst us who intervened in people's lives. He touched people, he healed people, he taught people, he told stories, he held people by the hand. It is in Jesus we see his compassion, God's compassion for the lost. We read, "They were like sheep without a shepherd." It was Jesus who touched the untouchable and the unlovable, the outcasts of society, the sinners and the drinkers of wine, the prostitute and the leper. In Jesus, we see a God who is there and who is not silent, to paraphrase a book by Francis Schaeffer. Why? Why did he intervene? Why did he send Jesus? Why can we know God in Jesus? Because he loves us in the same way that he loved Israel. He said about Israel, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you." That's why. It's because the Lord loves you. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. As I said, it was said of Jesus that when he saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. God intervened to send Jesus to be our shepherd, to show us and the world compassion. When we come together to worship, it is not to try and reach up to God, but to acknowledge that God made the first move. One of my favourite, well, it's a new song, it's not new now, but one of my favourite songs says, "You did not wait for me to call out to you." God did not wait for us, because he'd been waiting forever, but he reached down and touched us. He intervened and reached down to us in Jesus Christ. Christ, clothed in the same flesh as we are, to live as we live, in order that we can see God in a manner that we can understand. Where we cannot understand the immensity of God, who made the heavens and the earth. Just saw a little bit on that DVD, which I thought was marvellous, of the wonder of God's creation. But that's only an infinitesimal amount. And he made the heavens and the earth and the skies and the universes. And it's a size our infinite and finite minds cannot comprehend. An infinite God, where there are infinite ways of thinking about him. We just can't do that. But our puny minds can comprehend Jesus Christ. We can understand Jesus, the Word made flesh, the one who was before time and in eternity, who came into time to become vulnerable. We can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Which brings us to that ultimate intervention by God, the infinite one, the one who lives in eternity, who for joy set before him endured the cross. He chose the cross, as another new song says. He chose the cross so that we may gain eternity by his death and by his resurrection. That's why we come together to worship. That's why we come together to celebrate. We have something to celebrate about. Jesus came down so that we might know God. Jesus came down so that our sins might be dealt with, because he died on that cross for us. Now, God intervenes and continues to do so. I believe that 3.5 years ago, God intervened when you called Kate to be your minister. That was part of God working his purposes out. A bit longer ago, about 47 years ago, God intervened in my life. He reached down and touched my life, and he continues to do so day by day. And if you know Jesus, you know he intervened in your life and still does by the Holy Spirit. So I will extol, praise, give thanks to the Lord with all my heart for the one who intervenes. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory of God can be seen in the face of Christ. So we can celebrate, we can praise, we can worship with our whole heart, because the God of eternity, the God who created the light, the God who sent Jesus Christ, the God who intervenes, has made the light shine in our hearts. It's May the light shine in my heart, in your heart. Where there is this light, there can be no darkness. In Jesus, we can know the unknowable. We can know the glory of the infinite, majestic, awesome God in the face of Christ. We can know the God who journeyed from eternity to time in Jesus, so that we can journey with him, with Jesus, from time to eternity. It's a God who intervened from beginning to end, from now until the future, in Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, in God the Father. He's a God who intervenes, and I praise and thank him every day that he intervenes in my life, and that he intervenes and wants to intervene in your life. Amen.